this is one of my favorite things that I get to do is actually baptize people. So let's see, if you can go ahead and turn to Romans 6. We're going to be looking at 6:3 real quick. But before we do that, as you're looking up that verse, I want to go through some announcements, some things that we have coming up for us. First of all, we have our church-wide prayer gathering. This is our last prayer gathering of the year, believe it or not. So this coming Thursday at 7:30, we're going to be praying not only for the end of the school year, especially for our students as you all go into finals and transition, whether you're going to be staying here taking class, working, internships, going back home, or all that good stuff, as well as just even for our working folks to continue to be salt and light in our city. So please come out and join us for it. Next Sunday, this is very important, for Sunday celebration, we're not going to be able to use the parking lot that's right in front of UACC, but we will be able to use the parking lot over at the AT&T Center, which is right across the street. And so if you are driving to Sunday celebration, if y'all can remember the park at the AT&T parking lot center, and I believe we're going to have those validation machine thingies. So you get the ticket, and then don't forget to stamp your ticket, all right, before you leave. So please keep that in mind. And then for our students, we talked about this during Access, but OCR sign-up is online for those of us who are going to be coming back as students next year. I think this is really a great way to start off the year, thinking about really what is God's heart, not only for you as a student, but really God's heart for our campus. And so we're going to invite our students to, yes, it's going to require some sacrifice, but you know, with that sacrifice comes that privilege of really being able to participate in what God is desiring to do. And so I know that in the beginning of the year, there's a lot of excitement in terms of new classes, catching up with friends and all that stuff, but I think there is no greater joy than really stepping into the purposes that God has for us. So OCR this year is going to be August 17th. I believe that Wednesday evening, we're going to kick off with a barbecue, like a welcome back barbecue, and hopefully catching up with one another, and then we're going to just go be trained up, and then we're going to go on campus to meet some of the new students who are going to be coming, as well as old students who are going to be returning. So I really want to encourage all of us to sign up for it before y'all leave, okay? So please keep those things in mind. All right, let's go ahead and look at this passage together. So today's going to be a unique service because we're not going to do like a full sermon. I don't usually get to wear my beach dad outfit. But this is once a year where I get to do this, all right? So we're just going to look at this verse real quick. I'm just going to talk a little bit about what baptism is, and then the majority of the time, we're going to actually hear from our brothers and or our brother and sisters who are going to be baptized, and then we're actually going to baptize them today. So Romans 6:3, this is what it says, 3 and 4. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And I want us to focus on that last phrase that Paul uses, that we too might walk in newness of life. You know, when I think about baptism, it's not just symbolic as Christians because it's a religious ritual that we go through. But when you think about what it means to be a Christ follower, we always say it's not a religious act, but it's about the relationship that we have with God the Father. And it's about how God loves us, and he came to where we are to save us, because there's no way that we could have reached out to him. And this really struck home to me this Wednesday. And I think for those of you who are at Access, I shared with you how I had to take my car in. We have a minivan, and I think like the power steering was leaking or something like that. I have no idea what it was. So all I know, maybe they were ripping me off. I have no idea. But I trust my auto mechanic, so I had to drop my car off. And it was going to take a lot longer than I anticipated, so they actually gave me a ride back home. And on the way home, I struck up a conversation with a guy who was driving me, and you know, I was able to share my testimony and so forth, and it was a great opportunity. But so I got to ask some questions about him, like where he's from, and he was saying how he grew up in Alaska and he was part of the U.S. Army and traveled all over, but he ended up in Austin. So I asked him, "How did you end up in Austin?" And he said, "Well, it's because he was in Alaska and then he found out that he was going to be a dad, and so as soon as he found out that he was going to be a dad, he moved down to Austin, and he's been with his family ever since, and his kids are around 5 and 2. And I said, that's so awesome. And when I was thinking about that, it didn't register to me like then, right? I said, oh, that's so awesome. And then I stopped there. But then when I was thinking about baptism, I was thinking, like, that's such an awesome reflection of really God's love for us, right? Because when he found out that he was going to be a father, even though he didn't know his kids, because they were still in the womb and he didn't know what they looked like and so forth, but he knew that they were his own. And so he was willing to move down here because he wanted to know his kids. And he wanted to demonstrate that love for his kids. And when I think about what the gospel message is, it's exactly that. It's about our Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he knew that there was no way that we could possibly work up to where he was. And I think for all of us who kind of did the religious thing, I mean, we know well enough that even though we try to be good, there's no way that we can be perfect. And so God made a way for us. In other words, he came to where we are. And that's the gospel message, that Christ came to us and that he lived a life that we could not live, and ultimately he died the death that we could not die, and that he rose again to give us new life. And so baptism is significant because it's this testimony of what Christ has done in our lives. So when our brother and our sisters, when they go into that water, it symbolizes death. Death to this old life. Death to life before Christ. Death to trying really hard to be a good person. Or death to trying to find their own way. Or death to trying to make sense and make meaning and purpose of their lives. And that when they come out of the water, it's this newness of life that we find in Christ. And it's really interesting because Paul doesn't say that we too might walk in this modified life. He doesn't say that we too might walk in this better life. He doesn't say that we too might walk in this improved life. But it's actually a completely different life. That when we are in Christ, the Bible makes it very clear that the old has died and the new has come. And so it's really this time where our brother and our sisters, now they get to brag about this new life that they've been able to find in Christ. And so that's what today is. So it's really a day of celebration, right? Like when I think about it, it's like a big party that we get to have to celebrate with our brother and our sisters, not only the commitment that they make, but really this public declaration now of saying that I am not ashamed of Christ, for he is the means of salvation. And I'm willing to testify to what he has done in my life. And I'm willing to continue to walk on this journey. And so that's what we get to do. And so that's what we're going to witness. And so that's what we're going to be able to hear today. And so a couple things before I invite them out. First of all, for those of us who are believers, that as we, especially for those of us who have been baptized, as we once again experience and observe the baptism of our fellow believers, that you will also be reminded of what God has done for you. You'll also be reminded of that time that you had to go into that water and to come out, and the public declaration that you have made. And not only a reminder of that, but really a reminder of just God's incredible love for you, that he came to where you are and that he still stands by you, and that when he sees us, that he sees us as his sons and his daughters. And maybe for some of us who don't have a relationship with Christ, you know, all of us, we have a testimony in our lives, or at least we're in the pursuit of building a testimony, right? But the question is, the testimony that you're pursuing after, is it a testimony that after, hopefully if we live a long and good life, 80-some years of our lives, that when this life is over, is it a testimony that's going to end? Or are we investing into something where it's a testimony that's going to live on for all of eternity? And that's the joy of the relationship that we have with God. This newness of life, it's not just 60, 70, 80 years of having a better life, but it's a new life that we get to spend all of eternity with our Father who loves us so dearly. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite our candidates. So they're going to come one by one, and they're going to share their testimonies with us. And we're going to start with Anna. And I'm going to ask you guys, as you guys come up, to remember to introduce yourself so that we know who you are. All right? All right. So come on up, Anna.
Hi, church. kind of nervous, but I'd like to share with you just how I felt like God has moved me in my life. I didn't grow up in a church, and so I wasn't really introduced to what church would be like until like middle school, when my dad brought, unexpectedly, my brother and I to CCD, which is similar to youth group for Catholic Church. We went a few times, but it didn't really stick. And then from that moment on, I was without a church until junior year, when one of my friends invited me to church. And then from then, it was just, church was just a place that I went to. It wasn't something that I could grow in. It was just something to sit in and just listen to the message, to receive what God was like, to understand. It was a way to start off the week and de-stress, but it wasn't anything more than that. When I came to UT, I wasn't actively searching out a church. I never meant to join a campus ministry, but I had this feeling that I was missing something right from the start. And so I had talked with a few of my friends back home and was just actively wanting to find just a church that I could sit in, not to be part of a church, just to sit like I had done from junior year. And then that's when I ran into some of my brothers and sisters here in Harvest. They were doing their OCR scavenger hunt, and I still remember one of the sisters couldn't work the selfie stick. And that's when my friend was just like, this is how you make friends. Can I help? From that moment on, I was able to connect with a sister who wished me good luck on my first day of school, was able just to meet up with me and invite me out to more Harvest things. I remember after the Taste of Austin, I was bitten by an ant and my ankle swelled, and I was out while they were playing Capture the Flag when a few sisters sat by me. And from that moment on, I knew that I was gonna stick, just to see the love that they had for me. And they didn't even know me, so I signed up for Life Group. A few months later, a sister asked me during a prayer gathering, do you consider yourself a Christian? And at this point, my answer was, I don't think so, because I don't know how to do this. I'm still unsure how to do this. And that's when she said, being a Christian is not something that you need to be prepared for. It's more of a gift that you have to accept. And that night, during prayer gathering, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then, after accepting Christ into my life, I remember feeling so loved. I remember just walking down the street to class and just all of a sudden feeling overwhelmed with emotion. I felt like my heart was swelling, and this was out of the blue, that I just remember thinking, God loves me so much. And there I was, just crying on my way to class. But this overwhelming feeling was more than that. I realized during this time that it was when I prayed for God to continue to grow my heart. And I was hungry for more of Him. As the year progressed, I was able to experience the love that God had for me, but not only for me, but for all His children. I believe by joining in this walk with Jesus that I was able just to see through the tough times that God has been with me every step of the way. I was really encouraged to see that through the seasons of life, when things slip away and I can't control things, I can still cling to Him, that He's still a pillar that I can be steady by, and just listen to Him, to know the truth, to know that even when I'm weak and my all is not enough, that His love is unconditional and that I am so undeserving, that God is so great and so loving that when I break into pieces, He can be there to catch me and mend my heart back together. For instance, I feel that God has been speaking to me, speaking over all of us. But as I grow in my relationship with Him, I'm able to catch glimpses of God and just His greatness. I remember doing devotionals during Easter and just finishing them up and realizing this isn't enough. I had this message in my head to turn to Psalm 71. I didn't really know what Psalm 71 was saying. I haven't read through Psalms, still in the process. But as I read through verses 1 through 4, it just reaffirmed that God is with me, that He was speaking to me, saying that I know that you're struggling, and I know exactly what you're dealing with, and I'm here for you, and you're not alone. And to me, even in this doubt, even in my misery, I was able to be happy because God is with us each part of the way, and He never leaves us. And I just am so ready to draw closer to my Father in heaven, to be able to know more of Him, and in hopes that through me, I can be a light to show others the love that only comes from the Father. So blessed to be able to praise Him through the trials and tribulations of life, and to be supported by a community of His children as I continue my walk with God. And I can speak so many joys of Him, that He is so much greater, and the list goes on and on, because our God is so much greater, and I'll never stop believing that. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Devin, some of you guys don't know me. If I were to be honest with all of you, I never thought I'd be standing in front of you all here today. But that's one funny thing about God, right? He's always full of surprises and working in mysterious ways. Always full of the unexpected. But I'm here to tell you my testimony. So, before this life with God, I was lost in a life of bitterness and anger. The things that I went through growing up as a child left me with very little trust for people and a lot of scars, both emotional and physical. I spent so much time feeling like I was alone, like God was just there to keep on taking things away from me, that He didn't love me or care about me. But I had a lot of interactions with God, I had a lot of friends who were believers, and they told me that God had loved me and my family, but it was really hard to see that from my perspective. They told me that He was a Father that loved unconditionally, but for me, my Father left when I was born, so I spent so much more time pushing God's love away because I didn't know what a father's love was supposed to feel like, and I felt like I was not good enough to be His. But in all due time, God stayed persistent within me, always being there for me, not realizing He was always there. In this last year, or 7 months or so, He had stirred something in my heart and has been breaking down barriers ever since. His words, it's like He's opened my mind to a different way of thinking about things. And I think this is one of the ways in how God has transformed my heart. He has reassured me that He is not here to fix my problems. The things that I struggle with from my past or things I encounter on a day-to-day basis. But God has made me realize that even if I can't forget these scars, I can forgive. He's made me see life with a different perspective, and that's a perspective with Him at the center of it all. And with this change and a growing perspective, I'm overcoming doubts, and I want to take my next step of faith and following in a life of obedience to a Father that loves me, cares for me, and is helping me through it all. For I have found a God that is so good. And He has showed me that through the way He's changing me and how He surrounds me with such a beautiful community like yourselves, both inside the church and out, that He is always working in our hearts and working through our lives. And that's something that I'm so thankful for, that He is a God that restores hope, and He is a God that pushes us to be more like Him. And I want to thank you all for being a part of this next step in my life. It really means a lot to me.
Hi. I'm Eric. Before I say my testimony, I'm really nervous. I was actually in the morning in the laundry room holding my water bottle upside down and talking to the dryers. Today I just want to share about the freedom that God has given me. So, as I grew up, I was an only child, and so I was very ignorant. Because of that, I was very sheltered, and I didn't know a lot of the, you know, popular social norms that people followed. Instead, at school, I didn't care about how I looked. I ate very unhealthily, I just tried to ignore whatever how people viewed me. But during middle school and high school, I slowly realized that, you know, people had these expectations that I wasn't fulfilling, and people had these judgments on me that on who I was. And I just, during the time, I felt very insecure. I was insecure about my looks. I was insecure about how I acted and how I interacted with other people. It was really hard then. And I can remember how I was so self-conscious that when anything anyone talked to me or told to me about, I would always like analyze it because I'm a logical person. And it was so bad that I would always, for my own self, I would always try to prove my own self-worth every single day. Even though I knew who God was at that time, I wasn't able to turn toward Him because I was too focused on myself. Fortunately, during my junior, senior year, I went to my church's summer retreat, and I was able to hear about this greater perspective of who God was. I was able to hear about how God's love was so massive, so great. It was greater than like the insignificant worries, the stresses that I had. They're like 0.00001%. And so I was just so, it was a revelation just to realize who God was at that moment. And so after that retreat, I was like, man, I want to give my life back to God, even though I've been going to church all this time. And I would have gotten baptized, but I was like, I'm not 100% sure. My logical mind was like, oh, I'm only 98.5. So that's why I wasn't baptized then. But anyways, during this past year in college, I was so fortunate just for you to come to Harvest and just to be able to see God's love through all the people. I think God has been speaking to me that we are all vessels of God's love, and I was just able to see it so truly when I came into this church. And so I'm here at this church, and I went to missions, and I was really convicted by what God wanted to speak to me. And the amazing thing is that I realized that I didn't have to be 100%. God was telling me, He was like, Eric, you don't have to be 100%. As long as every day you decide to lay down your life for me, I will continue to make you to grow. I will continue to grow you in your faith and in your love in me and to others. And I was like, wow. And so that is why I'm here. And I'm so glad that all of you are here, because it's so good. It's okay. And I just want to say thank you all. That's all. Thank you.
Hi guys, my name is Gina. For those of you who don't know me. So I want to begin just by thanking God for providing for me and my family the past 20 years of my life and pursuing after me. I grew up actually in a Christian family, and I was raised in Texas in a one-parent household for as long as I can remember. And my mom single-handedly raised me and my sister and took care of everything inside and outside of the house. And so she was like a super mom. So now, like, when me and my sister look back, all we remember are the good memories and all the good times. But because I had such an amazing yet unusual family, and with role models like my mom and my sister, I always strive to be different and unique. And so I've misplaced a lot of my identity in things like popularity, like relationships, appearances, academics, future, you name it, I've probably misplaced my identity there. But as I look back and see all the brokenness from me placing my identity in all these things that are so earthly and temporary, I feel like that annoying girl in Korean dramas who always falls for the wrong guy, when all along there's that best friend who's always been there behind their back from the beginning to the end. But that best friend, of course, is God for me. Cheesy, I know. But however, one thing that I continue to struggle with, and I know I'm going to continue to struggle with, is just trusting in God's plans for me and his love for me. I've always been a big dreamer. I've always wanted to work at a big company and move outside of Texas and just being able to live in big flourishing cities. But when I was applying to colleges and my only option ended up to be UT, I was devastated because it just seemed like my entire dreams of moving outside of Texas were just like crushed. But I feel like God has called me here for a reason. And each year I'm here, God reveals to me more and more, and I better understand why. This year has just been so good, getting to experience God's love for others in missions, but also God's love for me. I get to know him more personally, and even more getting to worship and pray and fellowship and spend time with you guys and grow with you all. A couple of my favorite blessings that God has given me since college. So despite this year being really hard, allow God to work within me, because I'm just really controlling of my time and my plans, and also God breaking down my pride during recruiting season. I just feel like God's just putting me through a chapter of trying to build up in me a greater faith in his love and his plans for me. And so he's done so through a lot of setbacks, but a lot of grace as well, and especially through all my brothers and sisters here who really speak truth in my life, especially my sisters in my life group who challenge me to go back to him and to go back to him when I'm making big decisions or when I'm lacking a lot of faith in him. So when I think back, if I could go back to senior year and God had given me the choice of my first choice school or UT, I would come here all the way again and again, because God's plans are so good, and it's been a journey and an awesome journey here at UT. So even though I'm still learning how to depend on God, and I know I'm going to fail so many more times, I know that God's patient and that he's my best friend and he's my father, and he is going to discipline me, and he's going to mold me, and he's going to provide for me as he has for me the past 20 years of my life and my family. I'm just really touched by all the people here, whether you're part of HMCC or whether you're a guest here as well. Just being able to witness this special day to me, my baptism, and being able to share this experience with you guys is just such a blessing. I just thank you guys just for being here, my community and my family in Christ. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Megan. I honestly wouldn't be standing here getting baptized without all of you. So I want to thank every single one of you who have been part of my life this year. It's been really special. So I grew up in a church. It was really old and traditional, but we stopped going once my dad started working on Sundays. Throughout high school, I placed my worth in how others thought about me. I found value in my grades, my talents, my athleticism, and my relationships. So at this point in my life, I had pretty much lost touch with God, and these idols ruled over my life. So in my sophomore, junior years, I was really unhappy with myself. I pushed away everyone who loved me and who cared about me because I felt that I couldn't make them happy, and I was embarrassed by the things that were going on in my head. And I didn't have really the energy to talk to people, so I just kept to myself, did my schoolwork, and just focused on my grades. And even though I abandoned my friends, they continued to love me. And when I came back to them, they had no questions. they welcomed me with loving arms, and I think this is a really good analogy for how God loves us. No matter how far away we run or how much we push from Him, He's always there when we come back. Since then, I think God has been slowly reeling me in. In the summer of junior year, I met someone who is crucial to my being here. She's actually the one who pushed me to find a ministry or a church, and she's sitting over there crying right now. Since coming to Harvest, I've grown a lot in my relationship with God. I think the first time that I prayed, like actually hardcore prayed, was at the all-night prayer gathering. I remember hearing the lyrics, "I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me." And during that song, I decided to give all my insecurities and my weaknesses to God. And I just prayed that He would break me down so that He could build me into something beautiful in His eyes with a heart that's really caring and truly selfless. So this semester, that's exactly what He's been doing. that's what I asked for. But He's been knocking down slowly every single one of my idols. And it's at a particularly low point in the semester, God spoke to me and He told me, because I love you so much, you have to love yourself so that you can love others as well. After that, things just started falling into place. I'm not saying that was perfect, but it's been really good. So thank you for everybody coming here, all my friends. And this is only the beginning. I hope that God continues to transform my life so that I'm able to share the love with everybody that's in my life. So thank you.
All right. You know, I think for me, I mean, this is what makes everything that we do worthwhile. It's really the lives of people being transformed by the love of Christ. And I just want to encourage all of you, as you guys were sharing your testimony, I just really felt just God being so proud over every single one of you. You know, I was just reminded of the story of Job. Not that, you know, your lives are going to be like Job, right? But in the beginning of the story of Job, when God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And I think it's not just, oh, there's some guy over there and have you considered him? But really, it's God saying, "This is my servant that I love." And it's like God's way of just bragging. And I feel like as you guys were sharing your testimony, that's what God is doing in heaven. That He's announcing to all of His angels, "Hey, have you considered my son and my daughter?" Because He's so proud over every single one of you. And so we get to now have the privilege of witnessing their baptism. So we're going to go up. Water's a little bit cold. So we're going to make this really quick. And then after that, we're going to come down and we're going to finish everything. So if you could bear with us for about 5 minutes while we transition upstairs, okay? All right, so let's go up, guys. All right, is everyone back now? All right, well, we have baptism certificates for you guys, so I want to hand this out. Well, this is an alphabet, so Anna first. There you go. Congratulations. Devin. You are. Eric. All right. Let's give them a round of applause once again. All right, amen. Let's stand together as we close out our time. Before we get into just closing out with worship, because, you know, today really is a day of celebration. It's really a time and an opportunity for us as a church to really brag about all that God has done, not only in the lives of these individuals, but in all of our lives. But even as we have heard these incredible testimonies, that's ultimately the reason why we're here, to continue to make the love of Christ known and to continue to invite people so that they themselves will be able to experience this transformative love of Christ, so that they themselves will be able to encounter a Father who loves them so deeply. And so before we close out our time together and celebrate with our brother and our sisters, can we as a church really pray for that, that we will continue to be salt and light, that we will continue to be this living witness who will bear the love of Christ, who will bear the grace and the mercy of Christ to those around us, and especially for our students. I know that you guys are about to head into finals and it's going to be busy. But even in the midst of the busyness, even in the midst of how you handle stress and finals, that God will use these opportunities for you to testify about who God is. And so before we close out our time together, let's pray for that as a church. In our church, we pray in one voice. And so let's pray in one voice, saying, God, continue to raise us up to be that testimony to those around us, and continue to send us out so that we can love others with the love of Christ. So let's pray for that together before we close out, okay? Let's pray for that together. Father, we thank you.